Coming up on our Camera Fire podcast.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Having worked in J5 and the Pentagon in the early GWAT times, right, 2002, 3, 4, there's one determining factor on drugs in America. How much does a kilo of cocaine cost? Mm-hmm. Okay. In the 70s, it was like $50,000. By the 2000s, it was like $3,000. Okay. Yo. If you can't drive that
CIA, we know what you did.
Up to $100,000, right? But here's what I will say. I like Amsterdam, all them countries. Just make all the drugs illegal. I mean, legal.
Legal, yeah.
Make them all legal. Give them to them for free. You want to get rid of the drug trade and all that stuff? Just, you know, buy your cocaine on the open market, sell it out of pharmacies like they do in Amsterdam and those places.
Do you think the federal government should sell and tax it, though?
No, I think they should give it away for free. Like, you wouldn't have no more drug problems. Like, go over to Amsterdam, some of the countries mm-hmm. where they I've have the there. Free... heroin, right? Mm-hmm. Like they got like 1/10 of the drug problems we have because no one thinks it's cool.
I think I got your emails, but I'm gonna share this document with you.
Please.
So I don't know if you've heard, like, we getting mentored. Me and Jay on Green Beret Chronicles are getting mentored by a dude that has 10 million followers.
Bro.
And let me tell you something, man. That dude's been whooping my butt for the last week.
Is he making you feel dumb?
Well,
I didn't mean like for real, but I mean like you're like, holy shit. Like,
he's
what?
Really smart. Like mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you right now, like, he got his hooks in deep into YouTube. And he just, I mean, it's crazy. He's like, look, I enjoy the psychology of it. That, like, at the end of the day, that's what it is. I enjoy the psychology of it. But like, remember I told you I was shadow banned?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Us, all,
like,
of us.
He went in there. He's like, you ain't shadow banned. He was like, you posting a bunch of stupid stuff. He's like, you got AI thumbs.
That's
ain't
the nobody feedback wanna, I need, bro. That's
yeah,
us.
Ain't nobody
want
to watch this stuff. This is stupid. So then he was like, you got a ton of great content. He's like, I've been seeing your content for the last 2 years. He's like, but your marketing just sucks. So then he was that's like, this is what bro. I want you to do. I want you to go back and change all these thumbs, like 50 of them. He's like, so I made a thumb. I sent it to him. He's like, nope, that's not good enough. I want your head to be 1/4 of the page. I'm like, what? He's like, just do what I tell you to do. Literally.
Trust the process, dude.
Right.
Well, you know, I wasn't fighting with him. It was just more so like, damn, 75%, it's like 40, 1/4 of the page. The whole head? He's like, yeah, because this was his thing. He's like, when I'm on a phone and I see your face, I'm just going to watch the video. He's mm-hmm. like, I'm not even going to look at the thumb as long as I know it's you.
You're the brand.
Yep. And so it was just, but I mean, I went from 25,000 views. Remember, I told you I was getting crushed, bro. I was getting crushed.
Yeah.
I was doing 300,000 views. And then I posted that crazy video with the bullying, which I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way he would have let me post that before, because you can't have any cuss words in the first 3 minutes. You can't have.
No, we're screwed.
We're screwed,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah. So, like,
dude, you're screwed.
And I just got to do better, right? Like, I just got to do better. Like, that's the end of the day. But, like, I'm already back up to, like, $1,200 a month, right? I was all the way down to $600.
Well, I'm like, at zero a month. So, clearly, yeah, I need this sort of guidance.
He was making $3,000 a day. Almost dropped the F-bomb in there. You see that?
I saw that. Yeah, I saw you, like, run right up to the head.
Yeah, that's me.
Back right off that egg.
$3,000 a day. He making $3,000 a day.
Dude.
Yeah, $3,000 a day, man.
Well,
and my
clearly,
thing is, man, $3,000 a day, you can do a lot of stuff. Man, I can do a lot of good with $3,000 a day now.
Are you kidding
ooh,
me, bro?
Ooh, I'm buying planes. I'm going to have a ground school. I'm going to have a whole flight school set up.
Right?
Boy, let me tell you.
You're going to be like that dude you were telling us about last time with a fucking chimpanzee in the cage?
There it was.
Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. My wife has been giving me the business because you know them Japanese macaques?
Uh-huh.
They be sitting in the hot tub.
I've been there.
You been there? You seen them sitting in the hot tub?
I have.
Now,
yes.
Let me tell you something. You had 5, 10 of them
in
bad
Nagano.
Boys, and they were sitting in the hot tub. You had this special monkey hot tub for them bad mm-hmm. boys. Man, you're undefeated. Everything
they got the red
just
faces,
about
dude.
Yeah,
the
just being faces? Undefeated. You know, you come over to my house, and I want to go undefeated. You know, so Cass is like, yo, dude has 10 monkeys sitting in the hot tub. Right? Like,
just chilling, dude. You got to teach these motherfuckers to smoke a cigar, dude. It's over.
They all got herpes. That's the problem. And they will bite the fuck at you. Bite. They will bite you and shit.
That's the name of this episode herpes monkeys, bro. Don't get in that hot tub, dude.
The only reason I didn't jump on it is because I haven't spoken in the first 3 minutes. You probably both ran over those landmines.
I'm past the 3 minute point. I'm good.
Yes.
I'm
right. Good.
Let her fly.
Herpes monkeys, dog. Yeah, I think we're already screwed, to be honest. I did not know you could cuss in the first 3 minutes. It's probably the YouTube algorithm.
So here's the other thing that I thought was just absolutely monumental. So you guys had a bomb podcast, right? Like, we shot a bomb podcast.
We did.
He said, I don't care what order you shot it in, it always goes best to worst. He said, you cut out all the blocks and rearrange the whole thing to go best to worst. He said, because as things go downhill, they're only going to start, the more you retain, the more people they're going to show.
Right.
But I'll share this Google Doc, but I'm going to send you a text message right now because I want you to see this picture.
I appreciate you, bro.
This picture, dude, listen, that dude, I'll tell you, man, there's enough room for us to all win. I want you to look at this picture.
I love that. Okay.
I'm going to send it to you too, Chris. Hang on. I got it.
Yeah,
right,
sounds
here.
Good, man.
So this is like one of his biggest hacks right here. That picture I sent you.
Okay.
So if you you see the picture?
Not yet.
Okay. When it comes in, let me.
You got a droid and I got an apple, and apple is mad.
They don't talk.
Yeah, we don't talk.
They don't talk.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, they just yelling back and forth.
Yeah,
it's like your ex-wife, you know.
It gives you a super hack to see what people are listening to on your video, what they're doing on your video, mm-hmm. and then like he's like, yeah, just go make more of that. Go make more of that. And he had a bunch of hacks. I'll share the two. Well, I can't do it right now because I'll get off. But as soon as I get done, I'll put you in the Google Doc.
Hell yeah, dude.
And it's just like.
Speaking of Google Docs, I've had so many people comment and ask or message the page and ask for your brain health PDF, man. Yeah. I've emailed so many people that thing.
Oh, you got it. Yeah, email it, man, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude,
that was a hit.
Want it.
Yeah, bro. Hit, man.
That episode was fucking fantastic, dude. I had a lot of people, even people that like aren't even normal participators on the page, wrote me and were like, dude, that Playboy story was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was, dude. I made it its own thing, man.
Jake, man. They picked me up at the airport.
Balls of cocaine, Jake. They had balls of cocaine, Jake.
I was dying about that.
He literally was on repeat with that one, man. Like,
I could imagine, dude. I would be, but be talking about it.
The first thing out of his mouth, I can't be drug tested.
Don't
trust
us. Yeah.
There's no way. Like, his eyes were all, I was like, bro, don't worry. We out here.
Career
is
over, dude.
We out here in the middle of the woods, my dude. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't nobody calling to back the base and have them drive out here 2.5 hours. So.
Right. I need to watch the urine leave the body. Let's see it, right?
Bro, yeah, I'd have been peeing for him. No question.
Right, absolutely.
Well, my name is Williams. Yes, I'm Williams.
Yeah, that's me. Just wearing his fucking blouse. Yeah, that's me right here.
There you go.
You know, So before you got on, we were talking about, have you seen those vigilante videos of those people that go out there and they like bait pedophiles and they fucking meet mm-hmm. them someplace? Mm-hmm. Dude, mm-hmm. I honestly love watching those fucking videos.
So let me tell you this. My dude mm-hmm. said... He got his third strike and got demonetized on 10 million viewers for talking about it.
Yeah. For talking about those videos?
Yeah, I could.
For talking about all of it.
No shit. I guess we'll shut up.
Just giving you a little hint.
All right. Never.
He said,
We can talk about that
offline.
Yeah, yeah. So have you seen, did you see, this prank guy was out there. I think his name is, Todd something. So he slaps people, kind of like the dude in Philly slapping cigarettes. But he likes to go up and hug women. And like he'll hug the woman and say, don't tell you. I told you I was going to find you. I don't care if you're married, whatever. And then like.
Whoa, great way to get shot, dude.
Well, he got shot. He got shot the other day.
Called it.
You know, he got shot the other day. But here was the sad part.
Dude,
this was the
fuck
part
around
that,
and find out, man.
Yeah, this was the sad. No. A dude shot him. He was trying to mess with some dude in a grocery store. It was some gump dude too, like some beta. Like
that's the one, dude.
And he was like
fried potatoes.
He was like
sling
kept putting
blade
phone in his face, and you just see the dude pull out like a little .38 and stick it right in his stomach. Bam. And so, but the crazy part was that dude got found innocent, right?
The shooter?
And, yeah. And, but the crazy thing was his parents were like, he's not really doing anything wrong. And I told my wife, I said, if I saw my son post a video where he went up and grabbed some girl's boob and then laughed at her boyfriend's
sexual assault,
I would be, because, I mean, he's 21 at this point, so he's getting a full-blown.
Yeah, that's an adult.
I'm driving over to his spot. Like, but if he got to 21 doing that, but it was his parents. His parents were like, oh, it's funny.
No, that's a really good point.
Have you watched the videos? Like, I'm always going to stand behind my son.
My dad would whoop my ass, bro.
Oh, my God, bro. But, that, I mean, that's why the kid's doing it, right? He's a little rich, entitled, you know, snothead.
Yeah.
You see
that fucking dude that walks around with bodyguards and he just fucking shoulder checks people all the time? And then his bodyguard will intervene when somebody gets mad about it. Have you seen that dude? He gets like millions of views.
Yeah. So the I can't think of the guy in Philly, man. Big black dude in Philly. He got shot. So he was slapping cigarettes and then he got shot, and so he stopped doing it.
Well,
but
I mean,
I'm just like, come on, man. We gotta, if you're trying to get that many views and that's how you're gonna do it. Like, have you seen the guys jumping off the buildings and like the guy hanging? So there was a dude in China that had like, I don't know, 20 million followers, and he was always like hanging off of buildings and stuff. And so it got so bad, like people were paying him like $30,000 to hang off their building and like jump from building to building, kind of parkour, but not really, because he'd be hanging with one hand, filming himself with the other. Well, he slipped and died. So,
listen, man, you play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned, right there, bro. You play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned.
It does
bro.
Remind me, though, like the videos that you're talking about. I know that there was one dude out of the UK that got pretty huge, but he was pranking people. He'd just like run up in their house, and then he'd just be like running around in their house, like filming himself, like knocking stuff over and like daring them to do something about it. But like, this is also in London, where ain't none of them got a gun where they can do anything about it, and they're all just like, oh, hey, you know,
bro. When I was in Germany, there was a military cat right outside a Landstuhl, okay, like where Larmsey is. I know you guys know Larmsey. Some fucking immigrant ran into his house with a knife, and this military member shot this motherfucker, didn't kill him, wounded him, and the German police were going to try to prosecute this American guy for shooting him in his house. Yeah, man, that was like a big thing. I still don't know what happened to him, but I have to look it up. But like, dude, laws over there are a lot different than the United States, man.
Hey, he would have got this one right here, Brandon. Hey, sir, I'm going back to the United States. I'm gone. Yep. I'd have been out. They would have came to my house the next day. There wouldn't be nobody there.
Yep.
Yeah, seriously. Hey,
what's extradition?
Come get me from America.
Well, speaking of extradition, Jake, did you see this, man? They got these cops in UK, the Bobbies. One of them's like online, basically saying that he's going to come after Americans if they violate like British hate speech laws on like X and like social media.
Oh yeah,
say,
yeah,
like,
he's gonna
extradite them.
It's like that scene from Inglorious Bastards. We're all thrilled. Yeah, we're all thrilled.
Hey, Chris, let me tell you something. They took second place a long time ago.
That's right.
They'll take second place again.
Right.
Yeah. Say it again for the guys in the back, Jake. I don't think
they took second place. It's kind of like them folks down south flying a Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fine. I mean, you want to proclaim that you lost. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Because you took second place, dude. So
it's true, bro. That's why I don't give a fuck when I see, like, I'm just going to be, this might hurt some feelings, but I see Native Americans online getting upset about it, too. And I'm like, hey, listen, bro, you can be mad about being runner-up all day, but it is
what
it is.
Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say about the Native Americans. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we quite possibly treated them worse than anybody.
Oh, we did.
Well, let me say this. Slavery was bad.
Undoubtedly.
I don't know if they got treated worse than slaves, but it is pretty close. And the thing that I'm going to say about them is they got that recessive gene for alcohol, right? Like the Chinese do.
And
we basically put them in some dirt, and then we left them there, And then, you know, like, we moved them trailer tiers and all that. I don't know. That's a hard one. You know, because everybody talks to me about slavery. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this, Brandon, because this is crazy. How many slaves were imported to America? Let's see if you know the number. How many slaves? I don't know the number.
I know it was a lot.
You think so?
That's what I've always learned. But I'm ready to be educated. 400,000.
Less than half a million. Less than half, 400,000 slaves brought to America. You know how many slaves were brought to the Caribbean?
Probably a lot more.
Probably way more than that, yeah.
7 million. Do you know how many slaves were brought to Brazil?
Even more?
20 million slaves in Brazil.
Listen, America gets the bad rap for slavery because it happened really, recently. I shouldn't say really recently.
The world has been doing it for a lot longer.
I mean, Jesus, the entire Roman Empire collapsed because they took too many slaves.
And there's actually more slaves right now around the world than at any point in history. There are still more people in slavery right now than have ever been, but nobody wants to talk about slavery in Africa or
cobalt mines,
other country. Right. But I think Brandon, to your point about why does it work? Why does America get a such bad rap about it? It's because at some point men stopped, we just started taking it. Okay, I'm sorry. Just stop beating me over the head with it. I'll do anything. Just stop calling me a racist. That's where it came from.
We did have a war over it. And while it did emancipate all the slaves, we did have the entire Jim Crow law thing, right? We had all of that. And don't get me wrong, bro. We are a country with sins, just like every other fucking country. But the United States acts like it's the only one who's ever committed this sin. It doesn't justify the sin, but it's stupid the way we fucking behave, like you said.
I think we talked about this last time. I think the history months are the dumbest thing in the world.
They are.
We should have history days. Today is Martin Luther King Day, right? 21st of January is Martin Luther King Day. The next day is whoever it's day it is on the calendar, and maybe it rotates every 3 years, or a third of the days are there for hey man, we're gonna have Michael Phelps Day, right? Michael Phelps, Mr. Gold Medals. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I go back to everything we do in America is to keep the divisions in place.
It is, right? Man. I'm so glad you said. And having those things are almost like an indirect way of keeping that division going, because it just celebrates something that isn't unity, right? And it's okay to acknowledge things. Yeah, it's okay to acknowledge things, and you should acknowledge things, and it's good to talk about history. But there's a difference between talking about history and moving on from it and recognizing it and being – it's almost like getting over shit that happened to you in your personal life. If all you fucking do is dwell on this shitty thing that happened to you, you're just going to be that person forever.
Yep. You're going to be living in that small box in your brain, constantly looking at the rearview mirror.
Yeah, that's it,
and that's where we're at. Where we're at.
I think, too, it's become a tool for one half of the political spectrum to use as a gotcha, even.
I just think the whole political spectrum is in a trash can. The whole thing's on fire.
It's all trash, dude. It's a dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. How about we haven't heard anything about the fact that Trump got his ear shot off?
No, it's straight memory hold.
since Black Dave Chappelle got put in to run for president for the Democrats.
I love that, dude. Right?
So I put Dave Chappelle on her face, right? I put Dave Chappelle on my thumbnail.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't get the Dave Chappelle part. And then I was like, he ain't black.
Right.
If you black, you get the Dave Chappelle part.
Yeah.
So then I had to take it off. I'm like, there's only 13% black.
Your
people
joke
in America,
was too niche.
Too tight. And I had Party Rubble. Go ahead, Chris.
Can I just say this, though? I think Dave Chappelle's Clayton Bigsby funniest sketch that I have ever seen in my entire life.
It's one
and
of them.
Nobody
dude.
Else would have gotten away with ever doing that. But if we could go back to having comedy like that, it would go a long way in healing people. Because when you can laugh about something altogether, exactly.
Heard that Chris Rock? No, not Chris Rock. One of them is under massive scrutiny for a joke he told 12 years ago.
That's such bullshit. When they go back and dig stuff up.
Come on, man. What are we talking about? We're talking about jokes. Like
trying to find a reason to be upset.
I had the crackhead version of Dave Chappelle. That's who I had on her face.
Oh, that. But, y'all got any more than jokes?
Yeah. But I had to change that thumb. It wasn't doing well. So.
Maybe I should go do that because all of my thumbnails, for the most part, are AI.
Oh, no. So you want to hear the AI? Here's what it is, Brandon. I'm going to give it to you straight.
Please.
Oh, I'm looking at your thumbnail. Looks like AI generated it.
Cheap.
Looks like a gamer. Are you a gamer? You game? You like 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds? You gaming? Yeah. That's stupid. Oh, yeah. I think you play video games. Word for word. That's exactly what he told me.
Go ahead, bro.
Go ahead. No, he just said you gotta go back. You gotta go back 50 and change it because most people have 30 on their page, and he said they may go back 30 more, but they're not gonna go back 90 more. So I went and changed all my thumbs. Like I made all new ones
and did that.
So I got a video dude, and I had a conversation with my video dude, and then I figured out Canva. So I got a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I use Canva.
He's a savage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just making. we were both making thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do?
Get
this?
In here and help Daddy make a thumbnail.
Bro, then, that's me, man. All the fucking graphics for the most part is me, dude. I do it all. Like I'd have to fucking remake them, but I mean, like I would. So
and then the other big thing that I did, and he said, don't worry about shorts ever. But I've been doing great with shorts, right?
But we get more followers from shorts than we do anything else.
He said, you don't want followers. You want diehard people that are going to watch everything you put out. He said, if you have 10,000 people on your channel that watch every video, you'll kill it. And he's like, I think he has like 900 million
followers.
Quality
over quantity.
And he's like, a video of mine will do, you know, 400,000, 600,000. A good video will do 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, if you had 10,000 followers, he said, you're going to be killing it. But yeah, it was just crazy, man. Like,
I'm ready to learn, bro. Whatever you got for us, like Chris and I will consume. Absolutely. But
yeah, it's just painful. It's painful because like, you know, like the thumbnails, your head needs to be half. So my queen of combat, my little girl I interviewed, that's going into Army OCS, the 30-year-old who ran a 21-minute 2-mile, right? So I had a raggedy-ass picture, so I called. I said, hey, man, send me a headshot. Send me a beautiful-ass picture. Mm-hmm. I put that in. The video did double the views in 2 days.
Okay. I'm like, sold.
Yep.
Say less.
Like two big heads on the – I'm like
– right.
Yeah. He's like, she's beautiful, Jake. I want a beautiful picture of her. I want to be like, oh, my God. You know?
Dude, people are going to click it. I mean, that's just a fact, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I mean, anytime you see a female content creator online, I know looking at their followership, it's going to be way higher than somebody else. And it's because people just like having eye candy on their feed.
Let me ask you this, B. Have you seen any of the fat Asian babes?
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Rocket Renee.
No.
I am telling you, when I say like, oh my God. They're 50. She's 56 years old in lingerie.
Dude, fat, Asians don't raisin, man.
Fat, juicy, like, she got 700,000 followers.
Right.
And I understand why. Like, she ain't ashamed. She fat. Her daughter fat as hell, too. And they both on there. And I'm like, hey, I can't take nothing from y'all. This is starting
to sound like that I was a senior NCO in the military and got stationed in Korea 3 or 4 times content. That's what that is.
Hey, did you see the lieutenant commander in the Navy get court-martialed for the crazy lip sync he did?
Yes.
No.
I did see that on TikTok.
Oh, my. Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, I always had the bad angel on one shoulder. Mm-hmm. And then I had the Navy on the other shoulder. I'm like,
right.
If I do this.
I like how he said the bad angel and the Navy, right?
That's like the same shoulder, dog.
The Navy, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember I was doing some extracurricular activities in the boardroom of the Norfolk General Hospital. I was making some extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no pictures. No pictures.
No pictures.
No pictures. I was in my summer whites, you know.
Yeah.
Collecting a little extra coin.
Did it?
I knew a dude that when he was in Korea, he told me he made all of his money making feet content for OnlyFans.
Yes, you said this last time, dude.
So he's like, hey, man, he does Asian chicks all of his drinking dudes, money, bro. And I was just like,
yeah. So. In Buds, obviously you got some of the most in shape six packs you ever seen, right?
Oh, sure.
So there's sketchy ass camera people all over San Diego. They'll pay you $900 for three rolls of film. Okay.
Okay.
So some dudes were doing it, right? Like some dudes were going over there every weekend, like getting hit off of $900, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we in the platoon, and one of the dudes in the platoon was showing up in all the playgirls in the back in his blue jumpsuit, like giving head to somebody else,
oh
right?
My God,
how do you do that? Man, let me tell you something. You want to be in a special forces room where cats is buying it, just cutting it out, sticking it everywhere. Like that dude would open up his cage and there'd be a whole montage. People blowing it up on a copy machine. I was like, man, he never got away from it. 3 years I was there. Like probably once a day, someone was giving him something.
That's crazy, dude. So when I was in Montana, there is a group of people in Montana. They're kind of like Mennonites, if you're familiar with Mennonites.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But they're called Hutterites, and this is in Montana. They will pay you, and they like finding airmen out there. If you're blonde, if you're tall, if you're a buff dude, they will pay you money to come out to their little ranch and basically sleep with their women because their gene pool is so small.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. And so I know I had a friend when I was in Montana who did that. He got paid money to go out there a couple times and try to impregnate these women because their gene pool was so small.
They ain't take no black dudes, did they?
No, white dude. It was like the Aryan race, bro. It was white, blonde hair, blue eyes, like Hitler's wet dream, dude. That was the people they were looking for.
Absolutely.
But I mean, people do shit like that all the time. I was listening to our episode today because I was like, man, there was a lot of shit at the end of that episode that I was really, really digging. And one of the things you said, we were talking about how like Kamala Harris was mentioning about like banning assault weapons. And you mm-hmm. said that your wife is like, Jake, you don't need an excuse to start a revolution. You said, if that bitch shows up at my house, I'm starting a revolution. That's a quote, right? I wanted to fucking ask you about that shit, man. Because now, especially now with Tim Walz, okay? Because when we uh-huh. talked before, she hadn't picked this cat for her running mate. And this dude is definitely anti-Second Amendment, and he's all about control. I did a video today from when 2020 in Minnesota, and these cops were running down the street, and they were shooting paintballs at people on their porch trying to get them to go back in the house. So my question to you, right, if that bitch shows up at my house, I'm starting a revolution, right? Like, what do you mean?
I'm going to tell you right now, if they ever come, like, if they ever come for my guns, first mm-hmm. of all, I'm in Texas. I don't think they're going to come for no guns.
Man. Texas would secede before that ever happened.
100%. But like, let's say I was in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
hey,
I'm going to tell my wife, hey, take the kids, move back to Stony Creek, get everything out of my name, and then just stand by.
Because mm-hmm.
the first thing I'm going to do is turn off all the power. And then after that, I'm just going to watch it just go down. And I'm going to make sure I got my henchmen ready. And then,
I love that.
You know, I'll be running Maryland.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole thing. Like this country ain't hard to stop. Look at what mm-hmm. the Northeast power outage did. Right.
Right.
Any of that stuff. And I'm not making no threats right now. I'm just saying, like, if you try to come and take my guns, which is a Second Amendment, right? Second mm-hmm. Amendment, mm-hmm. right behind the First Amendment, which is free speech.
Free speech. Yep.
Then we probably going to have to do something about it.
Yeah, man.
You know, so that's it, man. Like, and here's the deal. Like, I had a bunch of people call me on that comment.
Really?
And like, yeah. Two or three of my boys called me, and they were just like, man, come on, bro. There's no way she's going to do any of the stuff that she says she's going to do. I said,
hey, man.
I said, well, I'm going to tell you this. Like, so someone told me they're trying to defund the police so that they can make a national police. Right?
That's
so they can corrupt. Yeah, so they can corrupt the national police. And my thought was, like, in 10, 20 days of no police force, you could have complete anarchy. Like, mm-hmm. like 1 second after. We talk about one second. So 1 second after. You go read it. 1 second after. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go read 1 second after. In 30 days, we're at 50% population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, so one of the reasons why a national police works so well in a country like Germany is because of its size. People do not understand just how big the United States is versus a country like Germany. Okay, I've lived in Germany for like a collective of 8 years. I can drive from Germany, where I was at in Germany, the KMC, right, where Ramstein Air Force Base is, to Paris, France in a couple hours. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's how small it is. You can't even drive through the state of California in 8 hours, 8-10 hours, right? So you cannot have a national police force like what you're talking about, like the Germans did with the brown shirts, Stasi, right? You can't have that here. So it would fail is what I'm getting at, the way you're talking about. If something like that went down, it would have to be such a concerted effort. It just would be impossible.
And the other thing is the laws are different in every state.
Valid point.
So what are you going to do? Now you're going to institute national law in states?
They would have they'd have to martial law with like national guards, and I know that people wouldn't even fucking do that shit, Brandon.
No. I mean, look at the National Guard on the Texas border. They can't do nothing.
Dude, Governor Abbott was like, fuck you.
Yeah, right. They're handcuffed, you know? So yeah, I mean it's a train wreck. Like all I will say is I'm gonna tell you like this. I didn't think she had a chance to win. And now there's like three dudes, that one dude that has the 13 keys. He's saying she can't lose.
I'm not familiar.
And I'm looking at this. So he has these 13 keys to winning.
Go off.
And she holds like four of them. And that means that Trump would have to get seven of them. And no president has ever gotten seven. They're normally in the six plus one or two range.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, she's an incumbent. You know, this, that, and the other. She holds these keys. Like, Trump's not beating her. Now, Trump wasn't supposed to win the last time. Okay, but I'm going to say this, like, if she wins, I just think, like, man, like, if you think we got dumb stuff going on in this country right now, just wait till she wins. Like,
that's how I feel.
And the other thing I'm going to say, our world kind of like, hey, don't go over there and mess. Don't poke that bear over there. Cats are going to be like, yo, I rode the crap out that donkey. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, I rode that donkey all over. I mean, I was in you. You know what? I'm going to beat up anybody I want to beat up. That donkey come over here, I'm going to ride that donkey all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like that. That's my biggest concern about that whole ticket, the clown mm-hmm. show that's going on over there.
I was making this point on the live fire the other night that the thing that I don't hear enough people talking about, because really all it is finger pointing at this point. People are like, okay, Trump this or Kamala that, right? And that's the bulk of what people say. But the thing that bothers me the most is here we are in an actual competition for global hegemony with the Chinese, the Russians, and really, like, I guess Iran and North Korea, if you want to throw them in there as capable partners, which I really wouldn't. But do I really want Kamala Harris and Tim Walz marching us into the future when the Chinese are actively competing and trying to take over global hegemony? No, the fuck I don't, man.
Listen, I don't think you can beat the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you look at them like late 60s, 70s, we had some bad presidents in there.
We did.
Right? Vietnam, we had some bad presidents.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think.
Lyndon Johnson was one of the worst presidents we've ever had. Mm-hmm.
I think the wheels on the bus could come off, man.
That's what I'm saying, man.
If I didn't have three kids, I'd be trying to like just be excited about it. But I got three kids. I want them to have a good life, you know? So. I need America to stay on stable ground, or I'm going to Thailand. Mm-hmm. Thailand and Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
So.
I'm right there with you. Everything that we're doing, and this is what I keep trying to explain to people, it's like, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it because my kids got to grow up in this country. Mm-hmm. And that's also one of the things I like to point this out. When you have an entire political class that's made up of people that are 70 and 80 years old, it's like they're already living in the future that they plan for themselves. They don't have – they're not thinking about their posterity, because it's like a lot of them don't even have kids if you look at them, or grandkids. And so it's like, why would they have any incentive to leave anything behind for the next generation? They're not even thinking Correct. About that.
First thing I'm doing is putting 2-term limits on everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then going after unelected bureaucrats, because that's just a part of the problem.
2-term, and I'm getting rid of lobbyists.
There you go. I was just going to say, you have to fix the lobbyist problem, because otherwise what will happen is they'll do their two terms and then they'll go straight into the lobbying side of things.
It's like watching in general come off of active duty, and the first thing that happens to them is they're sitting on the board of Lockheed Martin or Raytheon, right? That's it.
But you forgot about the book deal, but yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, book deal, that goes hand in hand, right? But
right.
Listen, dude, taking the money out of politics is going to be the most dangerous thing to ever happen, because that is what makes people kill one another. That's why all of this shit happens, and you see these people behind closed doors like, oh, man, like, oh, dude, homie was out there swimming, and then he fucking died for no reason. Or he suicided himself in his fucking truck, because it's like the Boeing whistleblowers, right? Homie goes to the court one day and
three of them, dude.
I'm going to go testify, right, as a whistleblower, and then I'm going to blow my fucking brains out tomorrow on my truck. That don't make sense.
Well, and we did have a certain former president that had somebody die swimming in their pool, like drowned in their pool, and then it was investigated by somebody that was known to the former president. They handled the investigation in-house, and they were like, well, he wasn't a good swimmer. And then it came out that he was actually on the swim team of his high school. And it was just like, this is getting weirder and weirder, man.
go look at the Kennedys.
You go look that one up. Yeah.
So your boy JFK got killed because they wanted to start World War III in Cuba. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he stopped it. So he got executed. Mm-hmm. And then they said, for 100 years, we're going to kill somebody from every generation of your family. And then JFK Jr. died, or not JFK Jr., his son dies in a plane crash.
He did, yep.
Go look, Google it. Yep. Someone's died in every generation. Oh, they killed somebody in every generation.
You know what's crazy about JFK Jr. is he had a magazine that he owned and published called George. And who was in charge of all of the clandestine shit going on when JFK was president? George Bush Sr. And so everybody says, man, like, that's George quietly dog whistling, saying, like, I know who killed my dad. You guys seen that?
I didn't know that, but I didn't
know that connection.
I mean, I think it's pretty common knowledge now that he was assassinated by the CIA. I mean, it's pretty common knowledge.
The Bush family is as bad as the Clintons, man. Or worse, bro. Depending on how you want to fucking go after it, man.
But so they're all related.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That too.
All the presidents related. So
well, right, what are we talking about?
I'm getting scared, bro.
Just dive like a little bit deeper. You could talk about the Bohemian Grove out in California, and how like every single person
where I live, bro,
that's been a president has been a part of that and has been to that society. Like if you go look at a channel called Mark Dice on YouTube, he does a great job, and he's not scared about talking about that stuff. And he does like a great couple little like miniature exposés where it's like he shows the pictures, and it's like they're all there. There's Ronald Reagan and freaking Jimmy Carter and Bush Senior, and like they're all there in the same, sitting around a picnic table, like eating together, having their meetings out there at their festival that they have every year. Creepy stuff, man.
Yeah. No, so the last episode, you had made a comment. You said, I coach college football, these kids under 25 have problems. So we were talking about generations, like communication and skills. And one of the things I was wondering when I heard you say that, because I must have missed it really when we were talking last time. What did you mean? Like, you see these college students, right, who're supposed to be kind of the pinnacle of their group in high school. What do you mean they have problems?
So like everybody 25 and younger, like we're roughly about 25 right now. They grew up with a phone in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you go back to everybody, like really, we might be at like 27 now. Okay.
Okay.
But like 27 is the breaking point where they didn't get a phone in middle school. You know what I'm saying? They didn't get a phone until maybe late high school. They didn't grow up on a phone.
Right.
Like kids are growing up on tablets now. Right. Yeah. And so the problem they have is being able to communicate. And simple communication skills like talking to people. So there's a high school teacher out there that has this. I watched a podcast and she was just destroying them.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying that a high school senior graduating from high school right now is operating on a seventh grade level just 15 years ago.
Right.
I can see
15 years ago, a seventh grader was at the same level as a high school senior is. And she said, so we're sending the high school seniors out there. They're seventh graders, maturity wise.
I believe
it. And they don't want to get a job. They want to stay at home. They don't want to function. Okay. The other aspect of it is, I don't know if we didn't talk about the whole social media effect on like normal dating relationships. Mm-hmm. So normally 70% of the men sleep with roughly 70% of the men sleep with, I'm sorry. 30% of the men, 40% of the men sleep with 70% of the women.
Yeah, okay? the alpha male group. Yeah.
The alpha male group dominates, right? And everybody else, average, you know, age of virginity, I think in the United States is like 16 and a, or 17 and a half, 18.
Makes sense.
So in Japan, they saw that age go all the way up to 34.
Oh, yeah.
For the same reasons.
That's wild.
So no social skills, but the problem is, and it's already happening in the United States at the younger demographics, 4% of the men with the best social media presence are sleeping with 90% of the women. So 90% of the women get trained that I can expect a 10.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you say trained, T-A-R-A-I-N-E-D.
Trained. And they get trained. And then when it comes time to get married at 32, they don't like any of their selections.
Mm-hmm, right?
At 26, they're still having fun. At 27, 28, 29, 30, they're like, I want to get serious.
Well,
I'm not settling for that plumber who makes $100,000 when I've been sleeping with all these influencers.
Right.
But the influencers are sleeping with you, but they're not going to marry you.
And Jake, the same thing is happening with men in pornography, right? Because it's training their brain that they see all these beautiful women and they're masturbating in these videos. And in their brain, it's every time it's 10, right? So they get this mindset, whether they're like almost subconsciously training themselves that's what I can get off to, basically. And it's a problem too.
Yeah, the slide, Brandon, is horrific. And it's already, mm-hmm. like they said, we're at 90%. Like 4% of the males are sleeping with 90% of the women.
Well, I want to jump on top of that too, Brandon, because the other problem too is like a lot of these dudes, because they have no social skills, they're too freaking scared mm-hmm. to go out and actually talk to a girl. And so it's like, why would I actually put effort into going to try to talk to a real person that could like shoot me down or make me feel, oh my God, injure my self-esteem when I could just chill in my mom's basement, have another slice of pizza, and she'll never, you know, my OnlyFans chick, she never turns me down.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you're stuck in that cycle forever, dude. You're never going to break out of that. Those are the velvet handcuffs that I talk about, man. That is like the worst example of it.
And you go look at Japan, man. There you have a national crisis.
Yeah.
Right.
They ain't got nobody having no kids.
Right.
Population.
No, Japan is in population collapse. They already know within a generation, like all of that. And they're also one of the oldest generations in the world as far as like their population lives longer than everybody else. It's getting ready to fall off.
Average age of losing your virginity, 34.
That's
what I'm talking about, Brandon. When you ask me what's wrong with the generation, like I'm telling you, like,
but the shouldn't college is athletes inherent. Be that 4% though? I mean, like in my mind, I know you're playing at fucking D1, for the most part,
yes, they are in that 4%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But their problems come circular because they can't communicate with nobody.
Right.
They struggle to communicate. Okay. Like they come in your room for, like, I've had this happen. So I was the director of man development in Illinois. They'd come in my office. And they'd be texting me, standing right there in my office. I'm like,
oh my God.
That's what I was just about to ask. Like, it's one thing to have communication problems with chicks, right? Because every guy struggles with that at some point. But how do they talk to you as a coach is what I was going to ask. Like, man-to-man communication. You know what I mean?
Man. A lot of times, man, they struggle to make eye contact. But that's a generation. And that was 4 years ago.
I had an experience.
I'm an athlete, man.
I had an experience with this
kid, Chris.
He's 11, and he does not have a phone, and I refuse to let him have a tablet. And he's already asked me for that, and I said absolutely not. I was like, go outside and play with your friends. Like, I do not let him anywhere near that stuff. Nowhere near.
I wish I'd have made that move. We're coming off a tablet withdrawal from the summer right now.
That's a thing, man,
and it's evident, mm-hmm. right? Like, we ran today, so like I read this study where if your kids sprint, they raise their HGH levels a lot, right? Sure. And I got two kids that are like in the 25th percentile. And I'm like, well, we're going to sprint every day. Like, we're going to do 6 sprints. We're going to raise HGH levels, right? I'm like, what else I got to lose?
Just so like sprinting in the yard?
Down the street. Yeah. Like a little 50-yard sprint, maybe even 40. Gotcha. And so, but like, you know, we're out there crying and whining, and I'm like, tablets. And my wife is kind of like, so my dad, I'll tell y'all this story. This was a great story. So in television, well before both y'all's time, so my dad and I chipped in and bought this Intellivision video game. Okay. So, but it was only allowed to be hooked up to the main TV. Well, he came home and watched the news, and then I had to go to bed at 7. So I never got to play it. Right. So one, I don't know what was going on. I say, Dad, man, can I play in television? He's like, no, I'm watching the news. I was like, well, damn, it's half mine. Man, he snapped, bro. I told you my dad was a little violent. He jumped up, ripped the Intellivision out of the TV. He said, half, huh? This is yours. Okay. He rolled out the door, man. Next thing I heard was a chainsaw startup.
Here's your half.
Came back and handed me half of it, right? Do you know how many times I wanted just to be like, oh, yeah, let me just chainsaw these tablets? My wife was like, we're trying to raise them better than you, Jake. I'm like,
yeah,
it was pretty effective.
That's a really good point, though, too. Mm-hmm. I had a my dad destroyed one of my Nintendos in front of me one time because he told me, he goes, I see you. He goes, I come home from work one more time and I see you on that daggone thing and the sun's still up. He goes, I'm going to take it outside, smash it on the concrete. I didn't pay attention, dude. He went outside. He took my Nintendo. He said, come follow me. I didn't get the yelling. He didn't yell at me or anything, but it was just a quiet, like, just ripped it out of the wall. He said, come follow me. And he just walked outside, and I watched him over top of his head, boom, and just shattered it on the concrete right in front of me. And I just looked at him because there was nothing. He said, what did I tell you I was going to do? And I was like, that's just all there is to it, you know? And it was like,
did it reach you, though?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, I could say yeah.
Yeah. You know what was crazy, man? Like, we were outside so much when I grew up.
Same.
Like, I had fun going over to Eric Harris, didn't have any rules at his house, and he had Nintendo with Contra. I thought Contra was the funnest game in the world.
I love Contra.
But we would play Contra for like maybe an hour. I'd be like, yo, I'm out of here, man. Let's go do something else. You know, like, and then, you know, like, I played a lot of video games. Like in college, I used to play Joe Montana's football on the keyboard because, like, I was in prison, bro. Like, you're in prison, like, you're going to play video games to try to make the time go by.
You know,
I think there's some benefits to video games, like eye hand coordination, you know, multitasking. There's a bunch of things. You know, if one of my kids is going to go fly, they'll kill it.
I mean, I've seen digital consoles that the military uses. Like, I've used them before too, and they literally redesigned the control for it after like an Xbox controller because they know it's going to be a translatable thing for these 18 to 22 year olds that are going to be operating this shit. You know, so and they look for that with like even people they want to come in and make like RPA pilots. Like, what is your hand eye coordination from because you played so many video games? Like, you're right, it is a thing. You know, but it's something like you said, where when I was a kid and I would go outside and play, the video games thing that my parents were cool with was like, okay, the sun has gone down, the streetlights are on, you came in.
Exactly.
If one of your friends is still over, y'all can come in and play Super Mario until dinner is ready, right? And then maybe if I had a sleepover, then we could play a little bit before going to bed. But it was like, you're inside now because the sun is down and the streetlights are on. It was, if the fucking sun was shining, it was hose water and fucking running around the neighborhood, dog. That was it.
Exactly.
That was it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean,
absolutely. And you guys know where I grew up. I lived in Adventureland, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
yeah, you did.
Boat in the Puget Sound. Like, I had a boat, man. I'd put my boat in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be all over the Puget Sound.
Yeah.
You know, on that side, like down there by Steilacoom and all the way down to Chambers Creek. I'd be all over. We had Chambers Creek and a canoe. My dad would drop the canoe off on his way to work. I'd go with him. I'd wait like an hour and a half for all my friends to show up. We'd all pile in the canoe and like go all the way up, try to make it to Lake Steilacoom, you know, up there.
Yeah.
And I mean, just adventures, man,
yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, yeah. I just think my whole point is like if you can teach your kid to speak to people, he is going to dominate when he grows up.
No, 100%.
Dominate.
So on that, One of the things that, you know, Hannah and I do for the boys is, like, I make Carson give us an oral report, like, give us a presentation on something at least once a month. Or I'm like, hey, what are you learning about in, like, he loves the sciences, right? Huge, huge into biology. What are you learning about? Well, I'm learning about this week. I said, okay, cool. Tomorrow, right, you are going to give me a presentation 3 to 5 minutes on what you're learning right here. And he does. He goes and he puts, like, the, you know, his first one he ever did was, like, poster board. He put the poster board together and he gave the presentation. And then what was hilarious is as he was giving the presentation, he comes down to the end of it, right? And you don't realize how much these kids are picking up. And he goes, thank you. My name has been Carson. This has been my presentation. Please like and subscribe if you enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, you're killing me on the end. I was like, what are you running a YouTube channel? Because that's, you know, right. that's where you got the presentation skills from. And then that actually led us into a whole nother thing. We spent a whole summer last summer where he wanted to start a YouTube channel. And I was like, dude, you want to do that grind? I was like, here, I'll help you. I'll film. And I was like, I'll get you stood up and we can go. Right. And then he did like 3 or 4 videos, which we kept them all private. I'm not letting my kid's face go out on the internet at 11 years old. Right. But we made them all private. We made the videos and I showed him like how to do the editing and all that stuff. And he did. He did it for like 3 or 4 videos. And then eventually like the realization of how much work goes into all of them, goes into a 30-minute video, it ebbed off. But he was doing pretty good at it. We had one where we went fishing, one where we tried out a bunch of water purification methods, and we, you know, purified like 3 liters of water and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. But no, for what you were saying, like that is something that I've been trying to hammer on for him is like presentation and being able to speak to people. You know, we go out to a restaurant. I go, Carson, you order your food. You speak to the waiter. And you better do it correctly. Too. Yeah. Look them in, eye when you speak to them. Just basic stuff.
I don't even go order food anymore, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your kids do?
I send the 11-year-old, well, he's 12, about to be 13. I'll send the 12-year-old or I'll send the 10-year-old. I give him a credit card and I'm not going up there. I'm not saying nothing. I'm going to go sit down.
Dude, you're teaching lifelong lessons, bro. Confidence.
And the thing I do, I just use my grandfather's model, man. I drag them to everything, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, I took the 12-year-old to a board meeting. I'm on the board of the nonprofit Troops Direct. And I took him to Troops Direct board meeting. And he sat there for, like, I don't know, an hour. He had to ask one question. So he asked a pretty solid question. Then he got up and he went in the room and played on his I let him bring his Switch, right? Because it was a 4.5-hour board meeting.
Sure.
But I make him talk to everybody. Like, I make him talk. Like,
that is so smart, man.
Go talk to that girl right there, you know? Right. And, like,
right.
The 12-year-old got sneaky game already, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's he'd just be like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, here we go.
I remember you were saying that last time he was talking to some chick at the airport for, like, 30 minutes about Minecraft.
Wait, she was waiting for him outside the bathroom.
Dude, that's like, fucking genius, bro.
I said,
okay.
But, you know, like, you know, I can't be mad. I'm mm-hmm. making him do it, right?
No,
like,
dude.
But my thing is,
put it into practice. Like,
he has no fear of grownups. None.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing today, man? What's going on? What are you working on over there?
Yeah.
Sometimes he talks too much, obviously, right? But he'll get that temper down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even my 10-year-old, my 11-year-old right now is breaking out, man. Like, just not afraid to talk to people.
That's really smart of you, man. Because, I mean, even to your point before, because most of the airmen, and when I say airmen, I mean like the E1 through 4 crowd, pay grade wise, they don't know how to talk. They're very uncomfortable talking to people. And I was security forces, military police, right? And that's a major part of our job is knowing how to talk to people and knowing how to engage with people. And not just talking, but assertively talking to people, right? Giving commands, telling people what to do, using your voice as a use of force. It is so hard now. Even in 2010, when I was talking to people, it's a lot different than it was when I separated here in 2024. Just to watch the difference in 14 years prior, the airmen there, and then now. It's just crazy. And that's not a long period of time, Jake. It's not a long period of time, Jake.
How old are your kids, Brandon?
So I got an 8-year-old who's almost 9, and then I got a 3-year-old. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you this. I got a kid in middle school. He's 7th grader, okay? when I went in that seventh, when I was in his middle school last year, they had the, like, for plays or he's in the band, whatever. I am absolutely befuddled with this look right here.
Oh, is it the shy, I don't want to do it thing? Is that what that is?
No, 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 no. I'm talking about you walking down the halls and everybody in the hallway sees you and like, you're a grown up and they're like.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, is this is the competition we're going to fight? We're going to compete against here in 6 years when I got to go to college? Like, oh, my God.
Back
you know?
To it.
It's just, it's right back to the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like it is 100% a phone. And on that phone, it's the biggest ancillary problem you have on that phone is social media and likes.
Absolutely. Social media destroys the minds of children. It is like mental cancer to children. Like you should not, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're letting your kid be on, you know, freaking TikTok is probably the absolute worst, Snapchat, like any of that shit. You are especially not Snapchat. Only are you not doing anything for your child, you are actively, you're disadvantaging them for the rest of their life. You're putting them behind.
Setting them up for failure.
You're kneecapping him.
Yeah.
You're kneecapping him.
Perfect. No, you are, man.
I got to get that one out there. And here's the perfect example. Did you guys see that chick that was the supposed break dancer from Australia in the freaking Olympics, right? She comes out, she does that thing, but that's what, right? You see people that have like amazing talent. They're, you know, they're supposed to be the best people in the world. And then you have people show up like that, and that's going to be everybody here in like two generations. That's going to
be there, bro.
That's my point. But eventually that's going to be like all of the athletes, all of the CEOs in business, all of the people in finance.
Think about this.
They're all going to be retards.
Think about this. Think about this. Think about those people raising children.
Dude, exactly.
Yeah. We're 20 years away, and 20 years from now, you are going to have. But I think I personally think we'll reach catastrophic failure. So then we'll be in hard times, famine, and all this, and then we'll have hard people again, right? Like, but
the reset will happen. Reality reasserts itself.
We are 100% right now living in easiest times in the world, making the easiest people in the world, who will in turn turn around and make the hardest times in the world. 100%.
What you said, Chris, made me think of something that I heard Jordan Peterson say one time, where he said one of the worst things you can tell to somebody is you're perfect the way you are, you don't need to change, and you should never say that to your children. Because that is the kind of mentality that people develop and they cling to, and they don't ever change, right? And they don't think to themselves, hey, I don't self-criticize, and not to the point where it's detrimental, right? But you recognize that you have flaws that you need to work on. You don't. It's one of the worst things you can say to somebody. It's also why you don't tell your kids, like, oh, you're perfect. That's bullshit. Nobody is perfect, right? You're just setting people up for failure. You're going to give them some sort of complex where anytime somebody gives – and that's another thing with this generation, right? Go back to the airmen I dealt with. Any sort of criticism you get them, immediately in total emotional and mental collapse – and then they want to run to the nearest adult, right? The nearest senior NCO or fucking, you know, CGO, and tell them that, oh my God, the E6 is being mean to me. Like, no, motherfucker, you just have shit you got to work on, like I do, but I'm pointing it out to you because I'm the NCO in this conversation.
Or here's another one that you should never tell your children. You can be anything you want to be when you grow up. Like, dude, that I hate that. Because it's like, I understand the point that it comes from.
I'm going to be a space shuttle door gunner.
Right, dude. It's like, I'm 5'9". It was never going to work out for me to be in the NBA, dude. Like, don't, you know. I mean,
it worked
it's
out
like,
for Muggsy Bogues, you know.
Hey, I'm just saying, I'm no Muggsy Bogues. But my point is, like, it's not that you should teach your kids to settle. That's not what I'm saying to them. But I am saying it's like you have to put some type of realism into their brains.
Expectations.
And let them understand that it's like, look, this might have been a thing that you wanted to do and you really enjoyed doing that. But you need to be pragmatic about your life and find something that you can enjoy doing, but that you can be the top 1% at. And if you find that thing – and then you work your ass off, then you can be great. Would you rather be a great electrician and just like top 1% of the electricians in your country or in your area? Or would you rather be like a so-so mediocre freaking failed, movie star?
But that's what we're pushing towards right now, Chris. They all want to be average.
Right.
I don't want a job.
Well, it's easy to be average.
No, literally. No, it just reminds me too, like this is kind of a soft pivot, but it's still the same thing. Chris, last time we were talking, you were mentioning about a lot of the immigrants that are coming into our country. And I mean, really illegal immigrants. They're harder people than Americans are.
They are
right now. Harder. Oh yeah. Way harder. Right. Dude, maybe that's an understatement, but right now, and I haven't really seen this make national news, but in Denver and the surrounding area, like Aurora, they are dealing with Venezuelan gangs in that mm-hmm. city. There's some drug store, or excuse me, jewelry store robberies, gun store robberies, and supposedly an entire apartment complex that got taken over essentially by these gangs, man. And that's kind of emblematic, I think, of what's going on in this country, that people aren't paying attention enough. They're not being affected enough yet to where this is the seeds that are getting planted that are eventually going to sprout into the trees that'll become the major problems eventually. Right. But it just, to me, it's just absolutely insane that this is happening in the United States and in such a short period of time.
It's going to happen really fast. But, I mean, technology is speeding up, right? Mm-hmm. So technology is speeding up. Tab is speeding up. Everybody has a phone. Like, my son is one of two kids in his whole seventh grade class that doesn't have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I told him, I said, hey, bud, you got 17. 17.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start talking about a telephone. My wife is like, well, when he starts driving, he's going to need a phone. I'm like, no, he don't. His phone texts. His watch texts.
Thank you.
He got two phone numbers he could text, right? He can text me and her. I'm like,
that's what we're doing for Carson. He's got the emergency beacon. He can send it out if he needs it. He doesn't need a phone. I didn't have a phone when I started driving. Like, you know what I had to do with my dad? Hey, I'm going here. I will be back by here. This is the route I'm taking. If something doesn't happen and I'm not home on time, this was the direction that I'm going, so he knows where to come and find me.
This is a basic brief.
Yeah, it's a basic Gatwa brief, right? But
yeah,
that's how we grew up. Holy shit, guys. Like it was that way all the way up until like 2002. And we were doing just fine as a human race. But all these people, they look around and they go, what do you mean he doesn't have a phone? How's he going to stay safe? Like, what do you mean? How's he going to stay safe?
I'm going to say this. It was that way all the way up until 2010.
Yeah.
I could agree with that.
Because you couldn't afford, like you couldn't give your kid a $600 phone.
That's right.
Like they weren't giving kids I remember I got my first phone in 2000. 2000, I got my first phone.
Nokia brick, baby.
Bro.
No, so when we were at the Naval Academy, one of my homeboys from New York, he had the free Nokia, the big one, the one that had the little suitcase that lifted up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had some homies in New York City that were bootlegging it.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was like $5 a minute. We were running that phone up. And then I realized.
Call me after 9. I got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Nights and weekends, baby.
It was free.
Right.
It was free. Yeah, the whole phone was free. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I didn't get my first phone until 2000. And really, 2010, you started seeing kids rolling around, mm-hmm. you know, 2000. Right. So
for real, that's about
it's
it.
Like these kids, kids don't know about that free nights and weekends, man. And they're like, I got my five that I can call, and it's always free. Mm-hmm. Back when that shit started.
I'm gonna tell you, 2000, they had the $99 AT&T unlimited plan.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Lifetime guarantee. I signed up for that mug so quick.
Did you get grandfathered?
And I had it all the way up. I had it all the way up. I didn't change over to Verizon with my wife until maybe like 5 years ago, because AT&T basically was like, we're kicking you off. I'm like, you can't. I'm like, I got this plan. But then my wife got a deal where all the lines were like $20 unlimited. And I was like, all
right.
Let's kick this out.
I remember they were grandfathering people in for a while, and then they, you know, a lot of people got grandfathered in, and they were kind of sick of it because they were losing money. Yeah. No, I mean, not even in 2010, even smartphones were kind of a new thing, like iPhone. That wasn't something that everybody had. And fuck, I remember I had a friend whose parents were rich as shit, but we were both airmen. And his parents came and visited him one time and bought him and two other people there, not me, iPhones. I was like, what the fuck?
Not me.
Bro, these fucking motherfuckers. No, I'm just saying it wasn't me. But they bought other people iPhones. I was like, that's fucking wild, man.
That's crazy. No, hey, if you need something to do with your money, I got that.
Right, yeah. Did you ever do when you're in the SEAL teams, did you ever do any like drug interdiction shit or anything like that?
So we were in Malta and we were working with the Maltese, and I was on my way out of the platoon, so I wasn't allowed to go out and do anything, which was hilarious. And I just remember, like, man, so the Malta is 90 miles from Africa, 90 miles from the boot of it, Italy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, Mediterranean.
And so the smugglers use it as a refuels point. Mm, and they have been. Like, come on, man. There ain't nobody on the island. Like, I want to say there's 100,000 people on the island, but whatever it is.
Got you.
And so I remember, like, our guys were going out there doing anti-drug stuff, and somebody got a little loose with a 50 cal. Yep. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, we can't go back out there anymore. I'm like, you guys are stupid. Like, all of a sudden you're just going to show up. You think you're a Navy SEAL, going to go on the beach. They had lights on and shit. Mm-hmm. My mother was like, hey, get some of this. Wah, 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 wah. All of a sudden it was like, I was back in the barracks laughing, though, when they came back. I was like, yeah, you guys. Because I knew what was coming.
Right.
I knew what was coming. Y'all out there trying to do dumb shit and mess with real gangsters. You know, I don't even know if we had guns. I don't even think we had guns. Like, they didn't even have guns out there.
Dang.
Yeah. They were trying to stop them from being able to refuel. They were pulling into some little coves refueling.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously those smugglers weren't just, like, floating in the water with no weapons.
No doubt, man. Now, so, I mean, kind of on the topic here, but, like, what is your thoughts on something that Trump said not that long ago about going after a lot of these drug cartels in, like, Central and South America with special operators? You think that's a good idea, or do you think that's something that doesn't make a lot of sense?
So here's what I'm going to tell you. Having worked in J5 and the Pentagon, the early GWAT times, right, 2002, 2003, 2004, here's what I'm going to tell you, mm-hmm. okay? There's one determining factor on drugs in America. How much does a kilo of cocaine cost?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the 70s, it was like $50,000. By the 2000s, it was like $3,000. Okay. Yo. If you can't drive that
CIA,
price of a kilo
we know what
of
you
cocaine
did.
Up to $100,000, right? But here's what I would say. I like Amsterdam, all them countries. Just make all the drugs illegal. I mean, legal.
Legal, yeah.
Make them all legal. Give them to them for free. You want to get rid of the drug trade and all that stuff? Just, you know, buy your cocaine on the open market, sell it out of pharmacies like they do in Amsterdam and those places.
Do you think the federal government should sell and tax it, though?
No, I think they should give it away for free. Like, you wouldn't have no more drug problems. Like, go over to Amsterdam, some of the countries mm-hmm. where they have the free heroin, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they got like 1/10 of the drug problems we have because no one thinks it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also have 1/10 of the population.
They do, but I'm not saying per capita, Chris. I'm just saying if you made drugs legal here, would you have a meth problem? No, because everybody'd be on cocaine.
Well, to your
right?
point, Jake, when I lived in Germany in high school, okay, and I was friends with a lot of German kids. They'd been drinking since they were kids. There's such thing as a Kinder beer, which it just means child's mm-hmm. beer, right? Which is like, it's like half Sprite, half beer. And it's a thing. It's a part of their culture, bro. And then by the time American kids, they're kept away from it. It's this thing. It's the fucking lamp right in the back of the cave, Aladdin style. Okay. To get there and get to, it's not a problem for kids in Germany. I can see you. What were you going to say, dude?
Dude. So
I love German beer culture.
Facts.
We nipped whiskey on the trap line, right? To mm-hmm. keep you warm. Mm-hmm. You nipped whiskey. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I was in seventh grade, and I'm writing a note because I missed it this summer. We were supposed to have a beer at the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just writing it down. But my dad was like, we sat at the table and we drank some beer. And I threw up because I hated the taste of it. Uh-huh. And he was like, look, man, don't be doing no dumb stuff. You can come home. You could drink all you want. There's the wine, the liquor cabinet. The beer's in the refrigerator. You drink all you want, but you got to drink in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember not the next summer, man, Cats was doing cough syrup.
Bro.
And I'm like, lean. What are y'all? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what are you doing drinking Robitussin cough syrup to get high? Like, right. What are you doing? Like, I go home and get a beer, man. And so I never drank. Now, part of it is because I didn't want to be like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part was there was no mystique around
exactly.
drinking.
It's not special.
Any of that stuff. I got drunk one time in high school. I almost died, mm-hmm. literally. Was in a massive fight. Oh. And, like, got to the van and dove in the van. Then I got beat up the whole way home. Because everybody was looking for me because they knew I was drunk. And I was just like, man, I can't be drunk at 120, bro. I'm going to get murdered out here in these streets at 120. You know?
No shit, dude. Yeah.
But yeah, like, I agree with you. I just think if it was all free, no, we wouldn't have a problem.
Well, let me ask you.
You wouldn't have no...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. Finish your thought.
Cats wouldn't be doing heroin if they could just get some cocaine.
I mean, maybe. How do you quantify the moral quandary there with making drugs illegal would be my question. In your mind.
You're saying making drugs legal?
Yeah. Like if drugs, right?
There is no moral quandary.
To some people, there is, though. Wouldn't you agree that they see it as a moral question, an ethical question?
So let me ask you this. Is it a moral question to give criminals guns?
I mean, I would say yes, considering when you look at other people and what could be done to other people, because if you're considering the lives of others, because there would be people who'd say, right, well, if you made all drugs legal, that's unethical. Like, how would you quantify or justify, might be a better word, the moral and ethical aspect of that question for inevitably Americans that would have an issue with that, right? Evangelicals, right? How would you quantify that mm-hmm. to them and sell it to them as a good idea?
I would sell it to them easily. Like, look at what Prohibition did. Mm-hmm. All it did was make the gangsters rich, right? We got rid of Prohibition.
We got NASCAR.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying sell drugs. I'm saying just give it to them for free.
Mm-hmm. You're just saying, like, you're talking about just decriminalizing them. Hey, we don't need the ATF anymore. We're not going to be going after it. It's not illegal to have it anymore. Right?
No.
Yeah, then, I understand what you're saying. I've heard this argument before.
I get what you're saying too. I just am wondering where your brain goes with it.
I don't think it's a moral issue. I think it's a functionality issue, mm-hmm. right? Methamphetamines are destroying, like, I was in Ohio. Methamphetamines are destroying Ohio.
Oh yeah.
Why are they doing meth? Cuz meth is like one-tenth the price of some cocaine, right? Why are they getting strung out on meth? Because they got hooked on opioids, and meth is like a high, right? Like losing all their teeth. Like, my moral dilemma would be like, man, let's give them something that ain't going to kill them, right? Cocaine, you can die on cocaine. Weed ain't going to kill you. But even heroin, like, man, shoot, you got heroin? And then here's the real trick. You didn't think I was just going to go like that. Once a year, you're gonna send a bad batch out there, and then you could kill all the drug addicts, and then, you know, pretty soon cats will be like, oh man, I don't know if I want that government drugs anymore.
That's the control session, right? This just fun, mm-hmm. yeah. No, I say it because, like, I think I agree with what you're saying, so right, and I'm gonna ask you like a question from the devil's advocate point of view, because mm-hmm. America is a very religious country, right? And like when. It's even a point in this election cycle when President Trump said he wasn't going to do a national ban on abortion. There were a lot of people that got upset about it. They're like, I'm an evangelical voter and I'm no longer voting for Trump because he won't do this. Right. So like that is the hamstring, I should say, on the sprint of getting to the point of what you're talking about.
You ready? You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
Let me get my gasoline out with my lighter. Okay.
Dude, that's why we want you here, bro.
So anytime anybody talks to me about the religious America
mm-hmm.
and the secular nation of this country,
mm-hmm.
I throw it right back in their face and say, what's going on in the Catholic Church with all the priests molesting the little boys?
Yeah.
Okay? what's going on in the black churches with the deacons sleeping with everybody?
Okay.
So don't come at me. I'm not ever going to have anybody come at me about the religiousness of this country.
Clean your room.
When we are the absolute most debaucherous country in the world, okay, maybe sure. short of Thailand and some of the Southeast Asian countries.
Chris mentioned mm-hmm. Vegas last time.
We hide behind religion a lot.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't buy none of it, bro. Mm-hmm. Like I love a Catholic to come to me and try to talk to me about something, because I'm like, look, man, all your preachers of God are molesting little boys.
It's
okay. So don't talk to me about it. Not somewhat institutionalized. Mm-hmm.
Well, they just will move these priests around when they get caught.
I mean, the whole thing, like, I mean, we know the whole Catholic Church. I'm not banging on the Catholic Church because I think
you're making a relevant point. Church, so just,
I'm gonna give you a fact. Mm-hmm. You want to know? I know a pimp. Okay, you want to know where he makes the most money every year by a mile?
Oh gosh, no, where?
The Baptist Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, dude,
saw that coming.
Prostitution.
Bro. Mm-hmm. Oh man, he said, man, I'll make $500,000 in 4 days.
The Protestantution, dude.
Louise, man. Protestantution, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because so anytime someone tries to stand on religion with me,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, nah, I don't buy it. You got to give me something
as
else.
As a Christian guy, I understand the hypocrisy argument, and I do agree with you that it's absolutely asinine to try to see. But this is one of the reasons. Two things that I want to say about this. Yes, I agree with you. A lot of times, as Americans, we use the vestitudes of religion in order to justify things, but it's a legalistic religion to where it's just like, I feel good because I go and I put on the Christian jersey and I say that I go to church. But then when it comes time to actually live your values, like, you're not doing it. And one of the places where mm-hmm. I point out all the time that Christians aren't living their values is like the way that they vote. Because I'm saying, like, if you think that you're Christian, but then you turn around and you vote for that, like, I'm telling you right now, like, you're not living your values, because there's ain't nothing about that in the Bible that's okay. That's one. But then, like, number two, on the whole live your values thing, I find it to be a little bit unfair, you know, to put the sins of a few. It's like, because all Christians get a bad eye, you know, mm-hmm. a black eye when one mm. priest goes out there and does that, or when one pastor goes out and slips up, and then it puts a black eye on everybody. I got it, and I'm gonna give it back. I'm gonna throw it back over to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reminded of a quote from Charles Dickens in A Christmas Carol, where, and you won't actually see this in most of the versions because they chopped this part out of most of the film adaptations because it gets very, very Christian very quick, but. You know, Ebenezer Scrooge is going off to the Ghost of Christmas Present about the hypocrisy in the church and how the pastors aren't doing their thing. And the Ghost of Christmas Present looks at him and he goes, like, what you're talking – I'm going to paraphrase him, but he's like, what you're saying right there, he goes, you charge their sins to them alone, like not to all of us. And he was like, okay, sure. You know, like in that –
it's like,
and that's
blanket
there.
Punishment
so,
in the military.
Yeah, right. I do agree with you 100%, Jake, because there's a whole scripture on it that just says, hey, before you try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye, you should probably turn around and take the log out of yours first. Like, keep your own back door clean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I just hit Google. I thought the number was 300 priests. The number is 1,700.
I mean, I believe it easily.
Is this like convictions? What was the statistic you looked?
Almost 700 priests and clergy accused of sexual abuse.
Accused.
Okay. That's what you're – okay.
2019. And so here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to say, right? I just hate the veil of religion.
Agreed.
Right. I hate the veil, okay? I some of the most religious people I know are the dirtiest, right? Like at the Naval Academy, there was one individual who was from Georgia. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And I said to myself, that dude's a dirty dog. I know he's dirty. I know. I just, because, you know, like, we got people skills, right? That dude is dirty. Come to find out, as soon as we got out the Naval Academy, I knew four different women and said, oh my God, he was sleeping with everybody.
Sure. Oh yeah.
And I said, I believe it. Yeah. So, like, but, like, that's my thing. Like, if you're going to be a dog, be a dog. Don't change, you know, don't sit here and talk about God is good and all this other stuff. And that's just my whole thing is there's a lot of people that go to church on Sundays and they don't listen to anything they say. And then they're happy. And then they go Monday and they're somebody else.
That's kind of my
point.
Because,
that's because for them, church is about. Go ahead, Brendan.
No, I was just going to say that no worries. I was just going to say that's my point, Jake, is that the United States and American voters in general hamstring themselves with better policies because of the veil of religion over and over and over and over again. And honestly, man, we could sit here and we can legislate one way or we can legislate another. But when you're trying to push legislation through the lens of religion, it's never going to work. And that's why for me personally, I wish conservatives would just drop a lot of the shit that they do, because it's just not going to reach people. It's just, there's two different things here, right? You want to sit here and you want to say that, all right, we want to be in control. We want to make the United States better. We want to fix some of these problems, but we also have to fit into this incredibly small box. It just doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't work. Like, look at polygamy, right? Like, there's a whole bunch of non-monogamous stuff coming up, right? Tons of it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, tons of it. Go look at it. I tell everybody. Everybody want to bang me on, like, polygamy and all this other stuff. I'm like, look, man, in the Bible itself, everybody had more than one wife. Okay? Everybody had more than one wife. You want to fix the problems in the black community? Let all the black men take a couple wives. All this single moms, all this other stuff. But see, like all the Africans that came out of Africa, they all got multiple wives. And my big point on this one is I tell everybody, we come out of Western European. Our culture is Western European. Mm-hmm. One of the 20% of the world that doesn't live in non-monogamous relationships is Western Europe and us. And that's it. You know, and, you know, like concubines all over China. Everybody got five concubines if you can afford them. You know, Southeast Asia, go south of the border. They all got concubines. You know, even in France, you're allowed to have a girlfriend. Okay. But we live in America where the divorce rate is 58%. And we're sitting here preaching all this faithfulness. And like 70% of the men aren't faithful. And it's like 45% of the women aren't faithful. Mm-hmm. And all we're doing is lying to each other. All we're doing is having this big facade. Okay. And I go back to it. Like, it's yet another thing that needs to change in America, because all we're doing is pushing the pseudo religious values on people,
right?
But we're not even really in religious values.
I agree with everything that you're saying, man.
Legitimate righteousness. Nah, sorry, but I was just gonna say,
killing me, Brandon. You're killing me, B.
Yeah. I'm gonna shut the fuck up. You go right ahead, dude.
I think we were getting ready to make the same point, Brandon. Like, I agree with everything that you're saying. My fix would. For it would be, I wish that more Christian people would live out their actual values, live the faith that they read in the Bible. And it's not supposed to be a faith of like, of what you say to people. It's not like, you know, like what I look like on the outside. It's like in the Bible, it says that like, they will know that we are Christians by our love. If you look at somebody and you see the actual fruits of the Spirit on them, and you see that they have a life that's marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then here's the final one, and I think it's on the end of the list for a reason, self-control. And then you see a person that lives that way, like they're not preaching to you about that stuff, they just live that way. Then you're like, okay, that's that. They actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not religiosity. You know, but that's what I wish people would do for it. And then, you know, on your side, you're saying do away with it. You know,
I'm saying we're right back to the beginning.
Right. Yep.
Social media is the antichrist for everything you just said. Everything you just said, social media is on the absolute opposite spectrum of everything you just said, and now call it 99% of America is being indoctrinated into OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Like 4% of the men are sleeping with 90% of the women. Everything that you just said from a religious standpoint is going by the wayside really quickly due to social media.
Yeah, man, it's the virus, dude. It is. This is everything that we see, everything we're talking about and complaining about and making a point on is just the symptoms of that virus, 110%, you know. But all I was going to say, Chris, to add to your point is that I do wish that there could be more or would be more righteousness in our country, but I just don't
think it's going to happen is why you have to take control of your own life and you have to live the way that you're supposed to live and what your faith says you're supposed to live. And if you want to be a country, there's a dichotomy in trying to live a religious way versus legislate a way that's fair and equitable, or equitable, Jesus Christ. That's a wrong word. Fair and... Yeah, no. It's just a way that legislate a way that everybody can try to get behind it, I guess, and be good. I guess, you know, for a lack of better
term. Well, but, I quote this all the time, Brandon, but it goes right back to John Adams. He said that the Constitution is for a moral and an upright people, and is wholly inadequate to govern any other.
There it is.
And because it goes back to our founding documents, were set up for people that. I'm already trying to follow God. I'm trying to do the right thing. If even the 1% that were agnostic at least recognized that there was a morally right way to live, and they tried to be that way, right? So,
right back to religion and what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. I just think I just wish, and this comes back to our kind of our opening about America and the problems. I think this country is very, very unforgiving and very, very unaccommodating to anything that's outside the norm. You know, for sure. Anything that's outside of the norm. You know, like the whole homeschooling thing. You used to be a weirdo if you were in homeschool.
Yeah, now, it was popular.
Homeschool started to take off, right?
Yeah.
Like. It's just, it's the same thing, man. Like there's 1,000 ways to live life. There's 1,000 good ways to live life. And my way of living life is different than your way. But like, I don't need you over here in my house trying to, you know, dictate what I do. So as long as I'm not doing anything foul or illegal, like I should be able to do what I want to do. Because here's my thing. Okay, I'm going back to polygamy real quick. We got same sex marriages, but I can't have two wives.
Right. Okay?
I can go down in California and get my sex changed to a female and the government will pay for it, but I can't have two wives. Right? Like we got some stuff that's so far out of line right now that I'm like, man, like, you know, we got gay marriage. Great. I'm all for gay marriage. Great. Live your life over there. But I, you know, somebody shouldn't be punished. You know, and I just go back to it. Like, I think we are very judgmental in America. We have very little leeway for what we think is right and wrong, and we want to enforce our will on everybody, much like we do on the world scene.
Right. I mean, well, yeah, one more example for what you're talking about, too, Jake, is like people wrapping themselves up in. It's like if you look at the in religion, you look at the current president of the United States and everything that he stands for and his policies, but yet then he still wants to run out and tell people that he's a good Catholic and represents the Catholic Church. I'm like, there ain't a single thing that you do or policy that you stand for that's even in line with the doctrine of the Catholic Church. And I'm not a Catholic, but I know for sure that you ain't a Catholic. Over to you, Brandon.
Hey, he is. He's just one of the priests.
Dang.
He's one of the priests.
Right. I was just going to say, Chris, that it's so funny that you...
Dang. I'm throwing him swords tonight, baby. Yeah, bro. That dude right there is one of the priests.
Hey, Brandon, he came with fire, dude.
Sniffing kids. He did. Hell yeah. No, but I was just going to say, man, it's so funny you say that, like, the president, and you used the he word. Because ever since, Kamala Harris has been the next person up, right? You haven't seen or heard shit from Joe Biden, bro.
Yeah, he gone, dude.
No, he done.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's done, bro.
Big fact.
They said he's... I thought... you remember how we were talking about... They were saying he was going to die.
I'm sure he is. Soon.
But, like, he ain't doing nothing. I mean, come on, man. We know that dude was fried, cooked, clean.
Anybody that was paying attention to this.
After that debate...
Yeah. No, that was just the debate was just the point where the media couldn't hide it anymore. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask you while we have you here about this whole Tim Walz, Command Sergeant Major, military career lies. Get your two cents.
So here's my deal. There's some stuff you can like I'll never say I got combat, right? Like I didn't go to combat. I ain't got no combat. You're never going to hear me say, "Oh, I was in combat."
Right.
Like my thing is, at some point, you become a politician, all right? This dude didn't go to the first war, like, didn't, you know, 04, got out of town, retired early, ran away from going on deployment.
But CSM school.
Everybody's saying, oh, he went to Italy. I'm like, yeah. But he's talking about going to OEI, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, bro, you didn't go nowhere, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, was I over there in Persian Gulf? Absolutely. Was I on a ship? Yeah. Did I see combat? No. Did I do a shipboarding, right? I did two of them. Yep. Did I see combat? No. Right? Like, I was the boarding officer for my ship. Does that count as combat? No. Right? And so I just think it's one of those things, if you're an honorable person, you know, you don't really sit there and bend those lines. I got too much respect for everybody that does have combat to bend those lines.
Well said.
You know, I'm not afraid to tell people I've been in a couple gunfights.
Mm-hmm.
I know what combat's like. I know what it means to hear the little whistling of the bullet going by your head. I know what it means to get shot, right? Like, but, you know, in the grand term of scheme of things, like actual combat, no.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for him, I just think it's one of those things where everybody embellishes. And, you know, like, if that's the worst thing he does, then he's probably doing pretty well. And if you ask me, already looking at his record, that's like down there at like 100th. Like the 100th worst thing he's done, right?
That's
like
a good point.
There's things at the top of his list that are far worse than saying,
definitely,
you know, he's a combat veteran or talking. I did a video on the Gold Star family stuff, but like that was early on. That was like last week. And now I'm like, oh my God, this dude want to defund the police.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
this
yeah,
dude's trying to do all this other stuff.
Afterbirth abortion.
No,
that's not an abortion at that point, bro. That's called murder.
Nine kids on the table, and it's not illegal for the doctor to allow the kid to die.
Some
right, like
some fucking
come on, man.
Shit,
what planet are we on? Like, so that's why I'm saying, like, for him talking about this whole combat thing, whatever.
Yeah,
like, you know, the vets are gonna come out of the woodwork, and.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just telling you, man. They saying I'm preparing myself for them two clowns to win, and it's gonna be a party, man. Like it's gonna be a party. It's all sorts of house prices gonna go through the roof, inflation's gonna go through the roof, and the poor people that can't afford to eat are gonna start a
revolution. Wolves at the
door definitely don't
are
be the last one when the lights go out on this one, dude. Don't be the last one at the party. This time around.
She's the last one at the table, dude.
Come on, bro. My family will be in Brazil. They'll be on a beach in Brazil. I have them set up, and then I'm fixing to come back here and get me a chunk of land and 5,000 concubines.
Some fucking Mad Max.
He's going straight warlord, dude.
I'm going to tell the Hun, man.
Right?
Tell the Hun, my guy. Shoot, I'm trying to travel with
the
5,
descendants.
I think I read a statistic somewhere that between Attila the Hun and Alexander the Great, damn near 98% of the world can trace or say that they have some type of genetic connection to one of those two dudes. How many women they slept with?
36 million.
Yeah. 36 million.
36 million direct descendants.
That's insane. Not
ancestry, direct.
That's fucking nuts,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, but he had three sons too that were getting it on for another,
yeah,
you know, 40 years after he lived. They were rolling. Mm-hmm. They were Till the Hunt conquered, you know, 2/3 of the known world.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. Well, they also say that you can track his conquests by the number of people that died because of the change in like the Earth's temperature and shit too. Like, there just was less people on Earth. That's fucking nuts, bro. I fucking killed off everybody, but then I repopulated this bitch.
Right. Somebody get this man a Gatorade.
The way of the lion.
That's what
I. Brandon, right. The way of the lion.
Right.
The lion comes in, kills all the babies, yeah, and then has more babies.
That's right. It, dude. That's just human nature. That's what the commies don't understand, dude. Is you can't.
They coming to get me now. We definitely getting banned on this one.
That's okay, man.
Way too much stuff.
That's
way too much stuff.
That's me, man. I'm probably perpetually fucked with this shit. But the one thing I find interesting with Kamala's campaign website is that she ain't got any fucking policies on there, and it reminds me. Have you ever gone to a restaurant? Well, you ever gone to a restaurant and you look at the drink menu and there's no prices on there because you know the shit's that fucking expensive? It's basically reminds me of the same thing where it's like, we probably can't afford all the bullshit from whatever these policies actually are, so they're just not going to print them.
Whatever.
He said whatever.
I'm just getting ready. Make sure my guns are ready.
Hell yeah.
That's all I care about.
Big facts. Well, I mean, honestly, bro, I think that's a good place for wrapping up, Chris, unless you got anything else, brother.
No, I mean, we still ain't gotten to talk to him about his being on the Discovery Channel, but we'll get to it eventually, I guess. I love it.
I mean, I'm all
ears. Discovery.
If you want to tell me about it.
Discovery Channel?
Yeah.
No,
I think I want to.
Crazy one. I'm getting ready to do a.
I want to do a whole episode on it, so I think.
You want to do the whole. Yeah, so have you guys went and watched Top Shot?
I have seen Top Shot before.
Okay, so you need to go. You need to go like go fresh. I'm about to drop. I'm trying to find my DVDs around here because I'm having a hard time ripping it off the net. But I'm about to do a reaction video to the whole season.
That's awesome. Okay.
So that I can explain to people just how rigged the TV show was. Right? Oh. Like that TV show was so rigged.
Is like, anybody so going to come back, after you for that?
I mean, dude, listen, man. I don't care.
Fuck yeah, dude. Good for you, bro.
They're so scared when I walked off that TV show that I was going to sue the living piss out of them. I could have sued them for millions of dollars. So in L.A., in L.A., there is the legal game show. I call it consortium. Okay. Mm-hmm. And just like you could file an EEOC complaint, you can go take legal action against a game show that's not fair.
Oh, okay.
So like when I left, one point I had to talk to five lawyers because I said I was going to kill everybody in the house. They didn't remove me from the house. They just made me sign like 25 pages of documents with five lawyers saying that if I did kill somebody, they were totally absolved from any of it. Okay. And then the last part, when I walked off the show, I had to meet with some lawyers because they were like, are you going to sue us? And I said, well, I haven't really thought about that yet. And they were like, we'd like you to sign a release. I said, well, I'm not going to sign a release, but if you're nice to me and get me out of here and send me home right now, then maybe I'll think about it, right? Because I had to call the police on them because they wouldn't let me leave.
No shit.
You're holding me hostage.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you can leave. I'm like, no, you're holding me hostage. You won't let me leave. So I called the police on them. Then it got crazy. So yeah, man. But I'm going to do a reaction. Like Top Shot, I'm going to do a reaction to that, and then Dude, You're Screwed. I may do a reaction video to myself on Dude, You're Screwed.
I'd like to see that. I'll definitely be tuning in for that. I need
the full story on that eventually. If you want to go into it now, I got time.
It's real,
dog.
No. We good. We'll do a whole episode on it because it's a hell lot. Yeah. Man. Okay. Like, there's a lot of
Jake coming back, baby.
A lot of Top Shot, like Top Part Shot three. Stuff was crazy.
Part three, the trilogy.
Yeah, that Top Shot was crazy. The trilogy. Trilogy.
Fuck yeah, man.
All right, y'all, stay up. I'm going to bed.
Jake, thank you so much for fucking coming on again, bro. We'll definitely do a part three soon.